This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hacks Deep Dive, and this week we're talking the pill. Because it's the most common form of contraception in Australia. It's not just used as a contraception, though. You may use it to treat acne, heavy periods, hormonal conditions.
I first went on the pill probably around 10 years ago. I would have been 15 or 16, and it was just because of horrendous periods.
When it comes to the contraceptive pill, you've probably seen a long list of potential side effects tucked inside the packet. A lot of them are physical, things like headaches, nausea, changes to bleeding patterns, weight fluctuations. But there's other side effects also listed. Mood changes, including depression.
I would go from happy to sad, or very hard to control all my emotions. Didn't really feel like a human being half the time. Didn't feel like myself.
So how common are those experiences, the mental health impacts? Who's most likely to be affected? And are we talking about them enough? Because for many people, the pill can be a safe and effective form of contraception. Others, though, say it has had a significant impact on their mental health. You're going to hear from an expert soon about what the research says when it comes to mood changes on the pill, including those who may be more susceptible.
There's individual variation, with some women's brains being much more sensitive to their hormone, whether it's their natural hormones or whether it's taken in the form of a contraceptive. And I think the big thing that we keep talking about is early life trauma.
It's also a conversation that's really relevant now because the pill is becoming more accessible. Already in some Australian states, trained pharmacists can prescribe or resupply the pill without you having to visit a GP. But from July, that'll be possible in Victoria too. So should mood changes be part of the discussion? Well, Michelle Joachim has been looking into it.
I first went on the pill probably around 10 years ago. I would have been 15 or 16, and it was just because of horrendous periods.
Jess is 25 and lives in Adelaide, and she went on the pill hoping it would make her life easier. But instead, it came with some side effects she didn't expect.
Normally, I would have been a lot more energetic and a lot more creative. Really had an effect on mental health, which then had a flow-on effect to, I guess, relationships and the way I related to other people. I noticed that I felt flat. I was angry, grumpy, sad, irritable, kind of like a shell of myself.
Jess says she saw a few different doctors and tried a few different pills to find one that helped her periods but didn't affect her mood.
The worse the bleeding was, the better my mental health, and the better my bleeding was, the worse my mental health was. So I couldn't win. It was a lose-lose situation.
When I saw the big paper of the big side effects, I got a bit overwhelmed and I was like, I don't really want to read that.
Georgia's 19 now, and she went on the pill when she was 15. And even though she was aware of the potential side effects, what she experienced still came as a shock.
I would wake up in the morning, didn't want to go to school most of the time because it was hard to have a conversation with me sometimes because I would zone out.
Georgia found it hard to be around her friends.
I would go from happy to sad, or very hard to control all my emotions. Didn't really feel like a human being half the time, didn't feel like myself.
Today, the pill is the most popular form of contraception in Australia and is also prescribed to treat acne, heavy periods, and hormonal conditions. The most common pills are made up of estrogen and progesterone, the two main female sex hormones. Taking it every day stops the production of natural hormones in the body and prevents ovulation.
It's the woman who pays. But what 500,000 Australian women are paying for these days is the contraceptive pill.
Even though it's been around for more than 60 years, some experts say we've only just started talking about how these hormones can impact mood. In 2016, a massive Danish study found that women taking the contraceptive pill were more likely to be treated for depression, but there's still some conflicting research around the cause. A small 2023 study out of the US showed 43.6% of women experienced mood changes as a side effect at some point, and 83% said their doctor did not talk about these potential side effects. But there are heaps of different pills, and not everyone is sensitive to hormones when it comes to mood and mental health. However, young women and those with a history of mental illness are seen as potentially more susceptible.
When we look at the studies about the contraceptive pill, The mood side effects are generally less common than the physical side effects. That could explain why most of the conversation is about physical side effects.
Dr. Danielle McMullen, a GP and the president of the Australian Medical Association, says mental health side effects of the pill should be part of the discussion. Now in multiple states across Australia, trained pharmacists can prescribe or resupply the pill in efforts to make the medication more accessible.
As doctors, we're concerned that by having more and more different places that people can get medicines, things can get confused, and that you as a patient aren't necessarily getting that individual advice. So our best advice is to always go and talk to your doctor about medicines.
Back to Jess in Georgia.
I think conversations around the mental health side effects of the pill between pharmacists and patients, or literally anyone and everyone for that matter, is so important.
They want mental health to be part of the contraception conversation.
I do believe younger women, even young boys, should know about it. Like, a lot of people should know more about that.
This is Hack on Triple J.
Michelle Akim from BTN reporting there, and a reminder, if anyone does need help, Lifeline is always there on 13 11 14. We're hearing a lot from you now on the text line. Someone's saying, I had huge mood swings and sleep changes when stopping the pill. After 10 years, I thought I would take a break, but I couldn't even survive 4 days off it. I'm a big fan of easy access to contraceptives, but being able to access the pill without a doctor does concern me. So yeah, someone's saying they noticed when they stopped taking the pill that they were having some adverse reactions. We've got Antonia on the line with us now. Antonia, can you relate to some of these stories that we're hearing, people suffering mental health side effects from contraceptives?
Yeah, I went through a whole journey where I was trying to work out what was really taking a damper on my mood. I realised it wasn't really my normal way of being, and I noticed that, like, I was a different person on the pill and even trying the bar. So, like, I got off hormonal contraceptives, like, became sort of normal, was too scared to try hormonal things again, and, like, but, like, tried the copper IUD, which hurt.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a real process for you, Antonia, that it, like, it took a while to really realise what was going on. Did you feel like you had, like, support from, like, medical professionals, doctors, that kind of thing?
There wasn't really, it didn't feel like there would be a regular person that I could talk to. So it's like the best advice that I had were other women who'd gone through the same things and tried different things. So it's like, I'm on a low hormone IUD, which I was afraid of, but, like, on the recommendation of someone who had it and, was conscious of the side effects there. That's how I got to a place now after all this time, in a place that I can be who I am.
Well, I'm glad things have definitely improved for you, Antonia, and, you know, you're absolutely not alone. We're hearing from so many people now on the text line who have very similar stories. Antonia, thank you very much for speaking with us. I want to get to an expert now, and joining us is Jayashree Kulkarni, who's a professor of psychiatry at Monash University. Professor, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
You've actually looked into contraceptives and mental health before. What did you find in your research?
So this is research that's actually still ongoing, but what we have done is looked at different types of hormone contraceptives. So that's usually the pill, but it does include the straw that gets put under the skin and sometimes IUDs as well, and the impact of using these particular contraceptives on mental health. And so our study has been a progressive prospective study looking at the depressive symptoms or anxiety symptoms that women may experience if they take these particular products. There are other studies, of course, that are big epidemiological studies, in particular Danish study that's quite a large one by Skovland and group with about 1 million people in it. We have found connections between certain types of pill in women whose brains are sensitive to the hormonal effects. And that's not every woman, but it's some women.
And is there a difference across the different forms when you look at the combination pill, mini pill, IUDs?
Absolutely. So most pills, or the commonest form of pills, have got the two hormones, estrogen and progesterone. And some of the other things that you mentioned, like the mini pill or the IUD or the straw that goes under the skin, are progesterone only. So if we were going to have like a footy league ladder of the best to the worst, the worst complications and difficulties we've seen for women with depression and anxiety with the progesterone only pills. The best are where there is a combination of estrogen and progesterone in the pill, and in fact that where there's a natural estrogen, or estradiol is the name of the type of estrogen hormone, and that's the best.
So what's going on in our brain with these synthetic hormones and our own chemicals? Like how is it all interacting?
There's several factors involved here. So the synthetic hormones in the pills do interact with the natural receptors in the brain and the body. And let's not forget, these hormones are very potent in the brain. For a long, long time, people thought estrogen and progesterone were all about having babies and that was it. But that's not the case. They're very, very potent brain hormones. So they do have an impact of both synthetic and the natural form in terms of having an effect on brain chemicals and brain circuits that then determine behaviour, mood, symptoms, higher thinking, the whole damn lot. So these are very powerful substances in the brain, and the synthetics are working in the brain receptors.
You mentioned before predisposed factors that might influence whether or not a woman might be affected by depression. What kind of factors are we talking about?
Our research has been trying to answer that million-dollar question, like why do some women get depressed on this type of pill and other women don't? And we really think there's individual variation, with some women's brains being much more sensitive to their hormone, whether it's their natural hormones or whether it's taken in the form of a contraceptive. And I think the big thing that we keep talking about is early life trauma. There are many things that happen to a young girl, particularly, and we're talking now, you know, children, their brains are much more sensitive to what is going on in their immediate environment, and that's usually in the house. And so what happens if there is emotional abuse, emotional neglect, emotional invalidation, or worse, physical abuse, and even worse, sexual abuse? In those situations, there are hormones that really govern a person's response to how does a kid deal with that. And so starting right there, there are hormones that are changed in the brain. And from that change, then you get a downstream effect on the gonadal hormones, which is the estrogen, progesterone. As well as that, the early life trauma can change some of the circuits, the brain circuitry. So really, early life and then subsequent trauma builds up, and it makes this person's brain much more sensitive to the hormones. This is not the only factor, but this is one factor. There are genetic factors as well, that it runs in families. So premenstrual depressive disorder, for example, that's a premenstrual depression, is actually, there's a gene that's been identified. But again, it's a gene-environment interaction. So if you've got a lovely, nice, nurturing kind of environment, this gene may not become active, so you can get by without getting depressed premenstrually.
Okay, interesting. Let's hear a little more from the Hack audience now. We've got Grace on the line with us. Grace, how has it been for you? Have you also been on a bit of a journey here in terms of your mental health and contraceptives?
Yes, definitely. I think I was prescribed a pill, I think it was Levlen, one of the combined oral pills, when I was 16, just for heavy bleeding, and was not told enough information about that. And that kind of, as an adult now in hindsight, it really did affect my mental health quite a lot.
Okay, so you are wishing that you just had a bit more info from doctors, medical professionals at that early age when you were first starting it?
Yeah. I was kind of told that it would be fine, that it would just help my bleeding, and then that would kind of be it. But now that I actually have been diagnosed with PMDD now, and looking back on it, I think it definitely made that, like, symptoms for me, like, a lot worse.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it's been such a battle, Grace, but I hope you're doing a lot better now. Thank you so much for sharing and talking with us. We're hearing from so many people, actually. Jess on Bidjigal Country says, I went on the pill recently and it was a long 3 or 4 months of challenging mental health to adjust to. Another person, Adrian, saying, I'm so glad you're talking about this because I've experienced this as a partner of a woman who suffers severely with mental health side effects as a result of an IUD, which is interesting. Professor Kulkarni, what do you make of the fact that there's still so much we don't know about these mental health impacts of a contraceptive that's been around for decades?
Drives me around the bend. But, you know, it is about that preconceived notion that, oh, the pills are important for contraception. So when a new pill comes on the market, the predominant testing is obviously, importantly, is this a good contraceptive? Does it shut down ovulation? Does it make the uterine lining inhospitable for an implanted fetus and so on? So contraceptive, yes, tick. But what about looking at all the other things? And again, that blindness to thinking about these hormones as brain hormones or brain steroids has really stopped a whole lot of trials and consideration of mood, higher thinking, learning, all these activities that are brain activities from being considered in developing a new contraceptive. And it should be, because, you know, women's bodies are not just ovaries and uterus, you know, it's the whole damn thing. So we really, I think, being very short-sighted in not understanding more about this.
Do you have any advice for any women who are listening now who might have not drawn the link before and might be right now questioning whether their pill is having an impact on their mental health?
This is where validation of women is really important. So if women are listening to this, you got to trust your gut. If you are making the link, then stick by your own knowledge of yourself. You live with you. You know you. So you should be actually trying to get something to help you, which is change the pill. You know, there are a lot of different pills on the market and different people have different responses to those pills. So stick to your guns. Go and talk to your doctor and say, I have noticed this. I need to try a different type of contraceptive. And then have a think about what might work best for you.
And just finally, I mean, we know access to the pill is really important for women across the country. And from next month, women in Victoria are going to be able to access the pill without a prescription. What do you make of that development?
I'm kind of on the fence here, so you won't get a clear answer from me. I don't think women should have authoritarian, paternalistic control in controlling reproduction. So I'm pleased that this makes it easier for a woman to be in charge. That's a big tick. However, there's also all these complexities because, for example, I spend about 2 hours with a woman who is coming to my mental health clinic. Yes, that's a selected population, but you know, we go through the whole early life story and the subsequent stories and her reactions to various hormones and so on and so on. That's a really detailed, in-depth, highly, you know, sort of specialised area of psychiatry even. And I don't know how a pharmacist is going to do that. And I hope there's going to be a nice quiet area for the pharmacist to talk to the woman about this and they're not yelling at each other across a crowded bench while everyone else is listening in.
Well, it's been great getting your take on all of this. Professor Jayashree Kulkarni, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And so many messages. Someone saying, hearing all these women with similar stories is really validating. I started as a teenager and only now in my 30s I've figured out what has been going on with me. Another person saying, I was on the pill for 15 years with no side effects but then came off it and my mental health has been absolutely shot. And someone else saying, I thought my bad mental health from the pill was my personality. I'm sorry to hear that too. So many different experiences there. And remember, Lifeline is always available on 13 11 14 if that has raised anything for you. There are also chat options as well at lifeline.org.au or you can message 0477 13 11 14. And whether you've had a good experience on the pill, struggled with the side effects, or you're still trying to work out what's right for you, it's clear that these conversations really matter. And as the research continues to evolve, we're going to make sure we keep you across it. That is all for Hack's Deep Dive for now. I'll catch you next time.